Let's look at Exodus chapter 20, just one verse tonight. We read it, verse 7. The Lord says, commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, this third commandment, just one verse, it seems that with many of God's commandments, there is a small caveat, either a promise or an explanation. As with the Sabbath day, he talks about how God created the heavens and the earth, and so we should stop and recognize that. With obey your father and mother, there's a promise that you'll live long in the land. With the no idols, he talks about graven image or bowing down to serve them. And so here we have yet another explanation of the commandment or what God elaborates on. He says in verse 7, you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's the commandment. And then the warning to us is, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The word guiltless means to be blameless or innocent. It means to go unpunished. And what God here says is this commandment will not go unpunished. You will not be held guiltless. You won't be innocent. Now, I listened to a Bible teacher talking about this, and he's actually a Jewish person, not a believer. But in his commentary on this verse, he said that this is one sin that God will not forgive. And he takes it from this phrase, God will not hold him guiltless. I don't believe that for a second, because Jesus Christ said in Matthew, as well as in Luke, that every sin and blasphemy of men will be forgiven them, except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, which is leading us to Christ. The only sin that can't be forgiven is rejecting Jesus Christ, and with that, all of our sins are attached. So if you don't receive forgiveness from Christ, then you can't receive forgiveness. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so God speaks here not necessarily about a sin that won't be forgiven, but a sin that a person can go on living in and think that they're innocent, but God says, they're not innocent. I will not hold them blameless or guiltless or faultless. They are not innocent. So when we talk about this commandment of bearing the name of the Lord in vain, most of us, for good reasons, think of this as typically the way that we take the name of the Lord in vain is using God or Jesus as a byword. You know, when people say, God, I had a bad day today, or geez, you know, something like that. Or they'll say, I swear to God. And we refer to this as cursing. But I don't believe that that's the summation of this. You know, when you think about it, though, that's a big aspect of this commandment is when we use our words carelessly and we add God or the name, which is above every name, Jesus Christ, as a filler. You know, sometimes you'll be watching a movie or a TV show and it might be a wonderful storyline or plot, and you like the characters, but it's happened to me before where they keep peppering it in with Jesus Christ, and they use this as a filler, and what they do is they bring down the great name of Jesus and use it as an expletive or an expression of hatred or anger, or they hit their finger with a hammer, and that's the filth that comes out of their mouth, and what they're doing is they're taking the name of the Lord, which is high and exalted. And as the scripture says in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Or as Psalm 148 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted in all the earth above the heavens. The Bible says that God has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and tongue confess. Jesus tells us to pray, hallowed be thy name. So when we talk about the name, it's just not the pronunciation of the name. We're talking about the character, the nature, the summary of God's beauty and his reputation. And so when we think about a name, it's not necessarily mispronouncing a name. Have you ever gone to another country or had a foreigner try to pronounce your name? When I lived in Russia years ago, they don't have the sound eh, and I went by Bill back then. So they couldn't say Bill. They called me Beal. Or in another country, the word Beal sounded a lot like another word that was a swear word, and so they wanted to call me something different. And I don't believe that God would have us not say the name, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, Jesus. But the Jews, you know, they took this scripture so seriously that they would never say the name of the Lord. In fact, they would never pronounce it. And so when they would meet one another, greet one another, to this day, they'll say, blessed is the name of the Lord, or Baruch Hashem. Blessed be the name. And when they write God in a letter or an article, they'll write G-D because they don't want to write the name. And it's sort of the super piety But I don't believe that's what God wanted or that's what he meant. In fact, when David wrote the Psalms, he would write the Lord's name. And the underlying name of God there in verse 7 is the word Yahweh. Notice in your Bibles, you will not take the name of the Lord your God. And L-O-R-D, you'll see in your Bible, is capital letters, all capital letters. And we've explained this before, that that is not the common word for Lord as in a master or sir. That word is also there. In Hebrew, the word Elohim is there. But the personal name of God, Yahweh, and God uses his name, or what's called his covenant name, to describe his beauty and his wonder and his resources, his character and his nature. So when the translators got to this, they didn't necessarily write the pronunciation of the word, which is four letters in Hebrew, but they just rather translated Lord and put it in all caps so that we would know it's the word Jehovah or Yahweh or Yehovah, however you pronounce it, really isn't the most important thing. But what is important is that we know to whom we're praying and worshiping, that this is the everlasting God. He is the one who is and was and is to come. He's the God who said to Moses, I am that I am. He's the transcendent one. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not an idol. He's not Allah. He's not Buddha, or he's not any other ascended master or leader. He is the only true and living God, and the first commandments have told us that. And so when God says this, he says, you will not take his name in vain. Now, I was reading a while ago about parents that gave their kids humorous names, kind of cruel names. I thought they were funny. There was a couple by the name of Turner, that was their last name, and they had a little girl, and they named her Paige. So the rest of her life, she was known as Paige Turner. There was another couple, the Peace family, their last name was Peace, and they named their son Warren. So the poor kid was named Warren Peace his whole life. And then the Arm family had a son, they named him Carl. So his name was Carl Arm. The rest of his life, the poor kid, he had to go with that. The Poole family named their son Gene, so he was Gene Poole the rest of his life. The Bacon couple had a son, they named him Chris. And so his name was Chris Bacon, but his middle name started with a B, so it was Crispy Bacon. That was his name his whole life. Now, those are humorous things, and a name in our culture isn't necessarily a name like in their culture. In their culture, their name was everything. Their name represented more than just, you know, what a Google search could find or discover. It meant your character and reputation, and you were only as good as your name. That's why the Bible says to have a good name is better than gold or silver. And it speaks of having a good reputation, not just having a cool-sounding name. It has to do with your reputation. And so to take the name of the Lord in vain is to use it vainly. The word vain in Hebrew means to have no value. It means to be devoid of worth, to be useless, of no effect. Vain is related to our word wane, when something is losing power, it's lessening, it's weakening. Or the word vast. The Hebrew word there speaks of emptiness, and vain is related to vast in that it's wide open. Interestingly, the Hebrew word vain speaks of something that is worthless and even really negative, not just emptiness. It's the word shav. And shav is related to another Hebrew word, show, and Shoah in Hebrew is the Holocaust. That's how they refer to the Holocaust. And so it's not just emptiness. It's not just triviality. It has a real negative, dark connotation. But I believe that God's telling us a few things here, not just about using God's name in a profane way. That is something common. Profane is also related to the word vain. You see it there, profane. It means something that's not sacred. It's not special. In the Old Testament, in the temple, what was holy, and it was used for holy things. But outside of the temple, that was common, and that was the same as profane. It wasn't necessarily negative, it was just common. And so in Latin, it was profanus, anything that was used outside of the temple. So if you took what was holy and you took them outside of the temple and used them for common things, you have just profaned them, you've made them profane. And so to use the holy name of God in a common way or for filler, whether it be to express disgust or the way many people will use profanity or take the name of the Lord in vain, or also just to commonly, constantly bring God in as a witness. I swear to God. I swear to God. You see, you know, you can go to the shopping center and hear cool kids just constantly swearing to God as if constantly need God to draw his attention and say, now, what am I going to be a witness for you here for? You know, when you swear in court and you raise your right hand and you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, you're calling it to witness God to preside over your life. And sometimes when people do that as a common way of expression, what they're doing is they're calling God to judge their actions, and it's really unnecessary. And when people say, oh my God, or oh my gosh, as sort of a substitute, they're really just using the name of the Lord in vain. Even online, you can read OMG, oh my gosh, or oh my God. It's just very common. It's funny. Years ago, they started changing profane words, and they would replace them with words that were different. And so instead of oh my God, they would say oh my gosh. And these phrases were called minced oaths, and this is common. They would use them throughout Shakespeare and throughout Old English. And what it did was it made a lot of these terms very acceptable, and many of them we don't even realize that are used. You know, like the term geez is short for Jesus. I remember in college when I was joking around from some friends trying to do a British accent, and I said something was bloody good. And a friend from another country said, now, I don't know if you realize that, but when you say bloody, they're speaking about the blood of Christ. And all kinds of profanity and swearing is all targeted at God, at heaven, at the blood of Christ, at Christ himself, at the Son of God. Maybe you've heard that old term, gadzooks. It was an old filler word, but that comes from an even older phrase, God's hooks, that spoke of the nails that held Christ to the cross. We think of the word Jehovah. That gave rise to the phrase, by Jove, I think I've got it. Or by God became by gosh or by George. By George, how does George get the same credit as God gets? And for Christ's sake became for Pete's sake. So Pete and George got elevated to the level of God. I don't know where that came from. In England, they used to swear. You know how people say, I swear to God, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Well, in England, they said, well, God blind me. And that eventually became the derivative, oh, blimey. And so there are things that are so common in our language that they've been switched so much. Suffering Savior became suffering succotash. Good God became good gravy, and so on and so forth. Make a whole sentence with these minced oaths. By George, I'm ticked off because your flippin' balderdash is just horse pucky around here, you son of a gun. For Pete's sake, shut the front door. That was my little phrase I made up. Those are all words that have been changed. Now, when you take the name of the Lord in vain, if you use something as an expletive without purpose, it's funny that it's always about Jesus or it's about God. We don't have any English swear words that are about Allah or Buddha or, you know, Rajneesh. Nobody says, you know, Buddha, damn it, you know, son of a Rajneesh or something like that. And I believe that's probably because the devil knows that when we use language in such a common way, that it can devalue what we're really talking about. And the value of that thing can go on and lessen its power. If you got your hand stuck in a door and you shouted out my name, you would be shouting it out in vain. And I would welcome you to do that, because may my name perish from the earth forever. You know, if you hurt yourself, Bud Stonebreaker, that would actually make a pretty good sounding swear word, or just Stonebreaker by itself. For Bud's sake, Stonebreaker. But by expressing it in such a common way, it means it has no value, and that name really doesn't have a whole lot of value. But if I take the name of the Lord, at which every knee will one day bow, and I use that to express something that's in my heart, that's what the devil does, constantly wearing people down and again and again. And that's how it is to take the name of the Lord in vain. A second way, I think, that somebody can take the name of the Lord in vain, and I think at the heart of this is hypocrisy. At the heart of this is hypocrisy. Why do I say that? Well, we read there in verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, take in the Hebrew language isn't just to take or to use. It is literally to carry or to bear. Many times it speaks of bearing false witness. It speaks of giving a testimony. It speaks of testifying of a thing. And so to take, consider this, let's read it this way, you shall not carry the name of the Lord your God in vain or worthlessly. And the idea that we get is somebody that, or some people or a group or a nation that goes under the banner or the name being called the people of God, the nation of God, or the church of God, and doing that in a way that's not serious, that's not revered, in a way that's just presumptuous, while not taking it seriously, what that does to your title or your identification is it makes the name of Christ or the name of God trivial. And by making it trivial and by being a bad witness, and that's why I think Jesus was more harsh with the Pharisees and Sadducees than anybody else, because this is what a hypocrite does. A hypocrite is a person who thinks that they are innocent, but God embeds within this commandment, don't think that you're innocent when you take my name in vain. I will not hold him guiltless or blameless or faultless who takes my name in vain. So by bearing the name of God in a trivial way, thinking that I'm innocent while I'm playing a hypocritical role, God says that's not right, not true. And so hypocrisy is another way that taking the name of God in vain is done. Then the third way, I think, which can be the strongest and most dangerous, is when a person or a group takes God's name in vain, and by doing that, they use God as a guise or a disguise to do evil. Hypocrisy is not innocent, but it may not be used as a way to actually do harm, to steal, to murder, to pillage under the name of God. Many things have been done in the name of God that weren't godly whatsoever at all. For example, when we talk about this commandment, we're talking about the true and living God. You know, it's not really possible for an irreligious person, an atheist, or even a pagan person for that matter, to take the name of the Lord in vain, because they're not bearing the name of the Lord. They're not carrying the name of the Lord. They're not labeled as one of God's people. So for example, Muslims that kill in the name of Allah, they're not really taking the name of the Lord in vain, because they're worshiping their demonic, wicked, evil God in completely the right way. That's what their God calls for. Their worship is bloody. It's violent, it's brutal, it's misogynistic, it's evil, but that's exactly what their God is. Now, the common mistake that people make is that the God Allah and the God of the Bible are the same God. And so, even though they're not, the problem is that people see the violence that's done in the name of God, even though it's not the same God, and what that does is that brings God's reputation down as a whole. Somebody pointed out that there's a movement called the New Atheist Movement that began about 15 years ago after 9/11, after the Twin Towers were bombed and planes were hijacked and radical Islam began to rise. They saw the actions of these people that would do evil things to innocent people, and that became their excuse to not believe in God at all. And that's what taking the name of God in vain does. What it does is it pulls people away from the true and living God, and seeing a guise for evil, they begin to think that God is something that he's not. Now you think back to the Crusades around 1,000 years ago. Now, I think the Crusades have gotten a bad rap over the years, partly because of modern college re-education. They think of them as nothing more than sort of Christian pillage parties where Christians went and just took everything they had. The reality is that the continent was pushing back against the creeping effects of Islam. So you go back 1,200 years and Islam was growing, and they were taking people, and there were hostages and kidnappings and violent takeovers of European villages and so forth. And so that was finally stopped. Charlemagne was the one who stopped it. But then they mounted a pushing back. And so the Crusades were really a counterattack against growing Islam. The problem was that it was under the banner of Christ, and many of the individuals violated the very tenets of Christianity in what would otherwise be considered a just and righteous war. It is just to protect your family, your state, your community, your nation against those who would come in and rob you and pillage you and rape your family and destroy your lives. And yet, under the banner of Christ, some things were done that were atrocious, bad things. And so those would be done under the banner, and an individual can do this. They can claim to be a Christian, but then do things, or Sometimes even people will sell things using the name of God. I read an interesting article that Pastor Greg Laurie put together. He was writing on World Debt Daily about how we can take the name of the Lord in vain with words, but there's another way that it's been done where people will use the name of the Lord to make a sale in business. And he put in his article that it's good to be a Christian company and to bear the name of Christ and use it as a witness. But he said sometimes people use Jesus to make sales. They become hucksters and religious charlatans that sell things. This is what he says in his article. He says, we have people today in what is called Christian retailing who use the name of God to further their business transactions. You can purchase a Christian version of just about anything out there. You can find anything from Christian books to music or ashtrays and lighters with the name of Jesus emblazoned on them. You can even get, quote, Christian bird feeders, Christian body lotions, Christian luggage, Christian lamps, Christian scones, Christian mud flaps. Seriously, do I have to have Christian mud flaps to be spiritual? Or is this taking the name of the Lord in vain? It's important to think about. Am I going to take this and use the name of God for this thing? He goes on, he says, perhaps the most awful and subtle form, taking the name of the Lord in vain, is broken by hypocrisy. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and you do not do what I say? The hypocrisy of the church is far worse than the profanity of the street. To pray and not practice, to believe and not obey, to say, Lord, Lord, and do not do what he says, that is taking the name of the Lord in vain. And so this small commandment has within it those three aspects I think we need to guard our hearts against. Well, first of all, we know that every one of us has a little hypocrisy. There's a little bit where we take the banner or the title of Christian, and yet we know that we're not totally and completely pure in everything that we do. So we have a little bit of Pharisee in us. Now, the commandments of God were given to give us that high standard of what we ought to live, but it's also, as the New Testament tells us, used to prove that we are sinners. And so the Pharisees were dedicated to keeping every one of these. And rather than keeping this third commandment by not taking the name of the Lord in vain, by never saying the word God, by never writing the word God, by substituting the word Lord or Jehovah in the Bible with another word, hoping to keep so far clear from taking the name of the Lord in vain, but by the time Jesus came, he fulfilled the rest of the scripture where it says, you will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And Jesus exposed their hypocrisy in order to show them and us that hypocrisy in religious form were just as guilty. Romans chapter 1 is Paul the Apostle's expression of the condition of the world which is in sin. He talks about idolatry. He talks about sexual perversion. He talks about violence. He says, this is the way the world is. Chapter 1 of Romans. Then in chapter 2, he turns to his Jewish brothers and sisters, and he speaks to the entire religious community that holds up a high standard. But then he says, be careful, because you can be just as bad as them by becoming a religious hypocrite. And while pointing the finger, you have three pointing back at yourself. Now, Paul didn't use those words. I just added those in to help us understand. But that's what the tendency is to do. We can actually become judges of other people while bearing the name of Christ and violating this very commandment to take his name in vain. And so we all find ourselves guilty before God. You know, it's been said before that the Ten Commandments are not a speed bump to slow us down. They're a dead end to condemn us so that we know that we need the mercy and the grace that's found in Jesus Christ. So with that, we just have one verse tonight. Why don't we close in prayer? Father, we thank you for your scriptures that you've given us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you teach us that your name is holy and righteous and true. And we thank you, Lord, that we can meditate on this one small verse with so much power in it, Lord, that we should not carry or bear your name for nothing. Lord, religious hypocrisy, religious violence, being a Pharisee, or, Lord, being careless with our words and bringing your name down or living your name down, Lord, to a degree that the world takes you trivially. Lord, we pray that you forgive us and help us to walk strong and to really honor you the way that you deserve to be honored. So tonight, we bless your name. We love your name. We thank you for all that your name stands for. Your word tells us the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous hide in it. So, Lord, we hide ourselves in your great name, the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. And we confess that you are our Lord for the glory of the Father. So thank you again tonight for your word. Bless us now as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.